He is so good. Amen.
Amen.
So let's get started. Tell your neighbor, this word is for me, not for you. Tell him again, you think that this is for you, but it's really for me. Woo! The deacon already said it. Thank you so much, deacon. Now, this is another one of those. I don't know what time it is, and that's so great. But this might just take us only a half an hour. Pastor Trina be shouting and excited, right, Pastor Trina, if this is a half an hour message? You like those. I know you do. Amen, amen, amen. Guess what book we're in?
Proverbs.
All my little students. Man, I'm going to start my vacation out with a homework assignment because I haven't gotten anything back yet for this week. So they're going to all come pouring in today. And we should really be getting wiser. God has chosen to have this book in the Bible that just gives us practical understanding, practical knowledge. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's not all about doctrine.
Amen.
He wants us to be better. Amen. He wants our lives to be better.
Amen.
He knows all things, and he gave this man, the wisest man that ever lived, these words, this wisdom, this ability to take a look, walk by, and observe people, observe their circumstances, observe their actions, and to have epiphanies like, oh, light bulbs coming up over his head. And so we've learned to do which things first?
First things first.
Mm-hmm. Make sure your land is going to feed you before you get all crazy and go building a house on it.
Amen.
And yet, having this wisdom given to us, I know our flesh still wants to build a house first. We are still likely, unless we meditate on this, unless we really get this inside of us, let me just tell you, this will be wasted because wisdom is wasted on the wise. We will come and we will learn this and we will still go the next week focused on how to get that house built on our land, how to do the things that are not the most important first. We also learned something about laziness. It leads to what? Ruin.
That's right.
Ruin. And not just if you're lazy all the time. Lazy just a little bit at a time. I love it.
A little folding of the hands.
To rest. Just a little bit of sleep. I'm just going, no, I'm going to do it. I'm just resting my eyes. Have you heard that one before? I'm not sleeping, just resting. Isn't that amazing? We don't like admitting that we're falling asleep. Amen. And last week we learned the power, the impact of faithfulness. Being what? Dependable. Being what? Reliable. And being what? Trustworthy. Dependable. Reliable. Trustworthy. Can you get with that? Can we commit to having nobody in our lives being left out in the heat, parched, oppressed, because we couldn't be where we were supposed to be on time and on post and on point? Guess what? You can't say you don't know. The Bible talked about it because you can get into all the old schisms and isms and all the doctrine in the New Testament and all the Pauline epistles talking about all that spiritual stuff. But guess what? Because the book of Proverbs is here, you can't say you didn't know. So don't nobody have to nag you and bug you and bother you or beg us to be what we're supposed to be. The Bible says it. That's the beautiful thing about Proverbs. You can't get around it. It's there to make you better. It's there right in your face. Be better, please. Take this, please. And because common sense ain't common, we need Proverbs. Because a lot of it is common sense. But we need it nonetheless. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The power of faithfulness. So can you imagine doing first things first, knowing that just a little bit of laziness adds up to our ruin, and that we know the power and the impact of dependability, reliability, and trustworthiness. What lesson do you think he would have for us next? Because we're still in Proverbs. Not only that, I can't even get out of chapter 25. We are still in chapter 25. And just like the deacon said, you don't have to like all of it. It ain't personal. It's not aimed at you. It's just the Bible. I didn't put it there. Amen. So our text will be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. You knew that already. Verses 16 and 17, just a few verses over from 13, where we learned of the impact of dependability and reliability and trustworthiness. Proverbs 25, 16 and 17, say amen when you have it.
Amen.
You should have it quick this week. Amen, amen, amen. Our text again is 25, 16, and 17, and the title of this message will be Too Much of a Good Thing. Did you know you can have too much of a good thing? Mm-hmm. Just because a little bit is good don't mean more is better. Ooh, let's say that again. Just because some is good does not mean more is better. Just because having some house is good doesn't mean more is better. Just because having some shoes is good doesn't mean more is better. Just because having some stuff is good does not mean that more is better. Woo, we need to learn that. Just because having some money is good does not mean more is better. More money, more problems. Especially if you're chasing the money. Especially if you expected that money to fill that hole in your heart that's empty. Just because some is good does not mean that more is better. What's going on in your life? Don't say it out loud, but you have it in your mind. Where is the more that you're chasing, thinking that it's better than the sum? And is it a ditch that you're going to fall into? Amen?
Amen?
The title is Too Much of a Good Thing. Did you know you can have too much of a good thing? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever fall into a ditch chasing more?
Yes.
Just when you got the more, you realize it was fool's gold. Woo, I got more. Bam, right in your face. Living in anticipation of the more. Cursing the less. Come on now.
Yes.
Cursing the less. Not just thanking God for what you're going to get, but you curse the old. Oh, everything's wrong with it. Everything's wrong with him or her. Everything's bad. Everything's new. This is going to be better. I don't like that. That's not enough. It don't fit me no more. I've outgrown it. I want better. I want more. And somebody kicking up their heels and thanking God for what you just cursed. Come on now. Woo! Let's go to the text. Get right with it. 16 and 17. Ooh, too much of a good thing. It's real. Let's read 16 and 17 together. Found honey. Eat so much as is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
Lest he be weary of thee.
Mm-hmm.
So hate thee.
Wow. Hast thou found honey? You know, the land of Palestine is a land of milk and honey. So honey's a great thing if you can find it. It's a delicacy. It's a beautiful thing. Have you found some? Have you found some honey in your life? Have you found something? Oh, yes. Good stuff. He says, eat so much as is what? Sufficient for thee. Or else thou be filled therewith and vomited. And he goes on to say, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. You ain't got to go home. But you need to get on up out of here. And if you don't have a home to go to, how well were you working on it while you were up in here? Why do you not have a home to go to? Lest he be weary of thee. And what? Hate thee. That's a strong word now. Guess what it means in the Hebrew? Hate. All right now. Tell your neighbor he's talking to me. So let's look at this for my students. These two verses, you might think, well, he's talking about two separate things. But if you take a step back, we got to do that. That's one segment. Same topic. He just used two different examples. It's a segment unto itself. And so the topic of that segment, in my words, you might have a similar word, is overindulgence. Overindulgence is what he's trying to, he's broken down. He's already told you to do first things first. He's already warned you about laziness and how insidious laziness is. You don't think, did you get enough sleep last night, dear? Okay. Amen. The laziness only comes a little bit at a time, and we think that it's not going to add up to a problem. He's warning you. See, if you knew that laziness was going to be that problem, he wouldn't have had to warn you. If you thought that laziness as a characteristic was the only thing that was going to hurt you, he wouldn't have needed to say this. He needed to tell you that just a little bit at a time, and it'll catch up to you. Amen?
Amen.
So the topic here is overindulgence. Now, if we go a little bit deeper, we could say that it's the consequence of overindulgence. Have you anybody overindulged? Anybody got too much of something? Anybody gone too far? Farther than you should have, farther than you needed to. This is simple stuff. And yet it's in the Bible, right? Now both of these examples should sound really familiar to us. Do they sound familiar to you?
Yes.
You ever had something you really like? And you couldn't wait to get to it? And you were just grubbing up when you got to it, and you ate, and you got, said, "Oh, I'm satisfied," but there was still more there. Mm-hmm. I've been satisfied. I've been full before, but full is not full when there's French fries on the table. There's full and there's full. They're not the same thing. There's full with homemade French fries still on the table, and then there's full when they're gone. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I bet you've had that situation happen to you before, haven't it? What's your favorite thing? What's the thing you can't, what's your honey? The thing you can't get enough of. The thing that if it's still left there, you got to have some more. We all have something. We all have something we just can't leave on the table. But what happens when you keep going for more? Your taste buds are happy, but the rest of you are not so happy. He's trying to tell you, you shouldn't go past that yield sign. He shouldn't go through that yellow light. He's saying, when you've had enough, don't press further. And notice that he's saying that you will vomit. Because if you eat, when you eat something, you know, that last little bit, you eat some more. When you throw up, you don't just throw up the more. You also throw up the part that was good for you. You also throw up the part that before you got into that trouble, before you went too far. So he's trying to explain this to us. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Now, what about the second example? This is where he's talking about withdrawing our foot from our neighbor's house, unless, because if we don't, here's the outcome: our neighbor will become weary of us. Ooh. And then not just weary of us, but also hate us. Have you ever stayed any place too long? He says, I stayed with her too long. You ever been over to anybody's house and they had to kick you out? This is the Bible. Listen to this. This is the Bible talking about this now. The Bible's telling you not to go too far for something that is good to you, because then it'll become bad for you. And now he's saying, you need to withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house. He's got to tell you that, because he'll get sick of you and actually come to hate you. That's some serious stuff. So we've been at people's house and we don't know how to leave. And we've also been in situations where we're staying, like the deacon was talking about. It's an extended stay, and things are great until they're not. Does this sound familiar? Amen. Somebody's going to stay with somebody else until they get up on, these are air quotes, on their feet. How long are you going to be with you? Oh, until he gets back up on his feet. That sound familiar? I'm going to stay until I can save up and get my own place. Does that sound familiar? Okay. This is the Bible. I didn't tell you. Get mad at Solomon, or get mad at God because he gave it to Solomon. This is Bible now. This is the Bible. This is not your mama. This is not your daddy. This is not the pastor. This is not somebody trying to bug you and motivate you to get rocking and rolling in life. This is the Bible. This is wisdom telling you, you know what? Let me tell you what I know about human nature. Human nature is you get comfortable. Human nature is you get selfish. Human nature is you get unmotivated. Human nature is you're not self-motivated. That's human nature. Human nature is you're not sensitive enough to know the impact that you are having eventually. Our nature is a brick wall has to fall on our head. That's our nature. But no, just till I get up on my feet, that's all. First of all, that's too vague. We need some specifics. Till you get up on your feet. What's your definition of that? Till I save up enough. Well, what kind of saver are you? How good of a saver are you? And are you going to handle your business so you can save? And guess what? You're going to be mad at me if I get all up in your business to make sure you save. You're going to be mad at me. If you don't do it on your own, you're going to be mad at me for helping you to do the thing that you should already be motivated to do. This is the Bible. This is not pastor. Don't be mad at me. The deacon already told you. But maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's your privacy. Maybe it's your space. Maybe it's your routine that's being affected by somebody else. Maybe that shoe was on the other foot. And you're like, preach, pastor. Tell them, because I don't have the nerve. Woo! Maybe it's somebody else, like the old folks in my family used to say, overstaying their welcome. So maybe it's somebody up in your place overstaying their welcome. Maybe it's just for an event and you can't get them out so you can go put your kids to bed or go do what you need to do or clean up because you can't get them out. Or maybe it's for an extended stay. And people overstay their welcome. The Bible is telling you that you can be in a neighbor's house and you can overstay your welcome. They can get tired of you. Now, do they tell you that they're tired of you? Solomon knew human nature, that when we get sick and tired of somebody, we're not likely to tell them. Especially somebody that is of the type of person that we would take into our house, allow to come over to our house, or to be in our house. We're not likely to tell them, you don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of here. We're not likely to tell them. So he had to tell us this in the Bible. Isn't that a shame? It is a shame. He knows we're not likely to say, you know, it's been weeks or months or we're not going to say anything. So then what's a good thing becomes what? Not a good thing. And what he is telling you here in very straightforward terms is that relationships can be harmed or torn apart over you overstaying your welcome. Oh, you're welcome in the beginning. Come on over. Stay here. Get yourself together. I want to provide you with the facilities so that you can go from where you were to where you're going to be. You won't have to pay as much. You can save. You're welcome. Come on in. And it turns into a, this is what happens for real now. For those on the radio or listening to this, I have my hand up to my ear like a phone. Girl, let me just tell you. I don't know when he getting out of here. He been here for blank weeks or blank months and don't look like he's saving anything. He goes out, he's doing other things, he goes out with his friends, and I know he's spending money. He just came back from Vegas last week, living up in my house. Woo, I can't wait. It was fine for a while. I was trying to help. So the Bible's talking to you. You're the Vegas goer. You're the not saver. You're to get comfortable going on partying and have a good time living your life. He said, withdraw thy foot. It's the Bible now. It's not the pastor. But no, girl, child, dude, let me tell you. That's what we do. We ain't going to tell the person. We ain't going to tell the person. We're going to tell everybody else. Woo, Lord have mercy. I had a situation like that once. But the weird thing for me is that I was welcomed by the husband. It was the wife that didn't want me around. So they stayed married. So somehow or another, we got through it. But you got to withdraw your foot. Amen? Amen. Because relationships will be harmed. This is wisdom. Remember, this is in the wisdom book. You know what that means? That means you don't have to do it. You don't have to follow it. It's a yellow light. It's a red light, but you can drive. There ain't no barrier there. You don't get to the red light, bam, you hit some invisible barrier. No, you can drive through it. Oh, yeah, sure. And you know what? Most red lights you can drive through and nothing will happen. But what he's telling you, don't do that. Wisdom, right? Wisdom makes you better, allows you not to have the headache, so the relationships are maintained. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Both of these situations go from something good, but they end up bad. They start out with happiness, fulfillment, maybe even a little gratitude. Maybe somebody's actually grateful that you let them come and visit your house for an event. They might be grateful that they were welcome. You let somebody stay over your house for a while. Maybe they start out grateful. Happy, fulfillment. Yes, I'm doing something good. I'm being a good servant of God. I'm being hospitable. Until it ain't so easy to be hospitable anymore. And yet we don't tell people to get out, do we? Nope. So Solomon, is he saying that we shouldn't have our favorite foods? And is he saying that we shouldn't go to anybody's house or let anybody into our house? Of course not. He is not saying that. At all. He is saying, though, that there are negative consequences to being overindulgent, to having too much of a good thing, going too far. This is what he's trying to teach us. He felt the need to write it down because he knows human nature. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's look just a little bit deeper into these negative consequences. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
A little bit deeper. There's a lot in these two little verses. We're going to work it. We're going to say it 10 different ways so you can leave here knowing, he told me now. I'm going to do my first thing first. I'm not going to get snookered and tricked by the little bit of laziness. I'm going to know how the harm that I am doing to others by not being dependable, not being reliable, not being trustworthy. It's not just a character flaw. You hurt other people. Don't go walking around saying you represent God and you're willing to hurt other people. Is that the God you're trying to show to the world? Not being dependable, not being reliable, not being trustworthy. And now we're God's people and we're overindulgent. There are consequences. That's why he used the extreme example of vomiting. You end up with less than you had when you were satisfied. When you had enough, I'll say. Maybe you weren't satisfied. Your stomach was satisfied, but your head, your mind wasn't. He's trying to tell you, you end up with less, is what he's trying to say. You end up with less.
Amen.
When you had enough, but in your mind it wasn't enough, you want more, you end up with less than you had when you had enough. Wisdom. And yet at those moments, when you wanted that extra more, when you wanted to be overindulgent, if somebody sat right there and whispered in your ear these words, would your decision be any different? Sad. Wisdom is what? Wasted on the wise. Just heap it all. It's just like money in a society. That it used to be the top percent, then it's the 1% of the 1%. Now the wealth just keeps going more and more to the wealthy because they understand the relationship with money. So one small group gets smaller and smaller and smaller that has more and more of the wealth, and there's more and more people barely making it. But the way is there. Did you know that 10, 15 years ago, it was legal for every single one of us, and we all had money to put into Apple and to Google and all of them jokers. Amazon, you had money. You were going to Vegas. You were going out. You were buying popcorn, going to the movies. And guess what? You could be independently wealthy. Many times over, we all could have relationship with money. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to be a speculator. What I'm saying is that if you listen to Warren Buffett, the man that people look to, he's not into speculation, getting in, trying to buy here and then sell there. He says, no. You buy stock in a company, treat it like a company. Keep that company and realize the benefits over time. I'll be trying to say, oh, get in on this day and out on that day. We're talking about relationship with money. He's the tortoise, not the hare. Man, talking about wisdom here. And now we're trying to talk about these negative consequences just to make sure it's seared into your brain, right? Let's look at 16 again. I want you to notice he chose this example. Honey was a delicacy and couldn't get enough of it. And it actually was good for you. Up to a point. The problem is, though, specifically with honey in this case, if you ate too much, there was actually a negative effect in your body and you would throw it up. But he used this example for honey's sake. But look, by the time he got to this, they had been in the promised land for long enough for them to know the specific effects of honey. It wasn't just about honey. You can miss the point. Well, I don't eat honey, so he ain't talking to me. What's your version of honey? Don't even have to be talking about food, to be honest. Greediness comes in many forms. And when you're greedy, you end up with less than what you started with. You had to have more. Not even because you felt like you needed more, but other folks got more. So now you got to have more. And you leave your peace right behind. Your comfort that God had given you and peace, you sold your birthright. This is God talking. This is Proverbs. It's in the Bible, right in the middle. Woo! So this excess intake causes this vomiting. It's not a neutral event. It's not that if I do that more, if I eat that more, I just won't feel any better than I did when I had enough. I won't be more satisfied than when I had enough. He's saying, no, 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 you end up worse off. There's consequences to driving past that yield sign, driving through that yellow or red light. Amen?
Amen.
We think more will get us to a better place, but no, 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 no. That is simply not the case. Now, similarly, when we look at verse 17, overstaying your welcome, it goes beyond a mere inconvenience and frustration. Because here's what happens. When you overstay your welcome, you know what? You don't usually, of your own accord, figure out, you know, I've been here too long. You don't say, I said, by the way, let's keep our promises if we do say, I'm going to be here for 3 months. Then do what you need to take. Do what you need to do to get out in 3 months. But we don't usually check ourselves in this. We don't say, oh, my goodness, I was supposed to save $1,000 a month, and I'm only saving $900 a month. Oh, my God, I better fix something. I better, you know, forego that dinner out or whatever it is. We don't check ourselves. We don't say, I said I was going to be here until I get up on my feet, and you should be able to get up on me. We know approximately you should save about $1,000 a month, and we know that it's been 6 months, and we know that it only takes you $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 to get your own place. So we don't check ourselves at 7 months and 8 months. We don't do that. You know what we don't do, particularly when we lack character? We don't go back and say, you know, thank you. I'm so grateful that you let me stay here. I know I should have been, at the rate I thought I could save, I thought I'd be right 6 months. And I know it's been 7 months. And I'm telling you myself, you don't have to tell me. I'm telling you myself, I'm sorry. And I'm grateful for your patience and your giving. But I'm back on track. And in 2 more months, I'm going to have enough. And I'm checking on places now. You tell me, how often you think that happens? It doesn't happen. You know what we do? We start rationalizing too. We start rationalizing. We start thinking, well, I'm doing them a favor by my presence. I'm helping them out because I'm giving a little extra money. That's assuming you're giving some money, heaven forbid. Heaven forbid you're not giving any money and you still don't save up and you're still overtime. I'm sure somewhere in Proverbs, he gets around to talking about those who enable the people who are the lingerers, who keep them underdeveloped and not realizing what they're supposed to be, because you do get used to sapping off of the extra money or work or babysitter or whatever it is you get out of the deal. That's a different conversation. That's a different section of scripture. I'm sure he covers it. But right now we're talking about it's you. And you're overstaying. You're welcome. And he's trying to tell you don't do that. You withdraw your foot. Amen?
Amen.
That's some good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
Ooh, it goes past just being irritated. You drive right past that and impatient, and it gets to resentment. Isn't that something? Contempt, hate. He uses these extreme examples for a reason, so you can get the point. But I'm sure if you're normal people, what you're saying to yourself is, thank you, Pastor. That's some good stuff, man. That's some nice stuff, but that's not going to happen to me. That doesn't apply to my situation. My relationships are tight like that, man. Somebody lets me in, I can stay as long as I want to. That relationship is not going to be affected. But you might be saying, Pastor, I've been lingering for a while. Ain't nothing bad happened. So you're not really talking to me. Now, we said earlier, we're talking to everybody. So we're talking to the lingerer. We're talking about the overstayer of the welcome. That's who we're talking to today. But of course, it couldn't be my situation, just like everything else, teenager thinking. Could never happen to me. My relationships are just too tight like that. We're too close. And beyond that, Pastor, our communication is just that good. We are so close. If he or she was tired of me being here, they surely would tell me. We talk every day. We share all of what's going on in our lives. So there's no way I could be here. Clearly, they want me here. Oh, man. So, of course, this doesn't apply to any of us because our relationships are just that tight. And our communication is just that good. I mean, you know, come on. Yeah, so if I'm overstaying my, first of all, I check in every month and I say, this is how much I've saved. Not. We don't do it. We don't do it. Ooh, isn't that something? And Christians, too. So we can ruin what were otherwise wonderful relationships by overindulging, just like we can overeat. Amen?
Amen.
So the keys to this lesson, here's the deal. Here's what he's trying to tell you. It's not the first few bites. It's not any of the bites of your food that you eat all the way up to the point of getting satisfied physically. It's the latter bites that are the problem. So he's trying to get you to understand. Little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hands. Oh, it didn't happen all at once. The overindulgence happens after the normal indulgence. It's not the first week. Ain't nobody saying you can't stay somewhere for a week or we tend to think in months, I save this much per month and all. Okay, it's not the first weeks that are the problem. It's not even the first months in most cases. It's them other months and those other years. Think about it. How do these things finally happen? Somebody gets with somebody and they have a good relationship and then they want to move in together. That's how it usually happens. Or they get married. That's how they finally get, they don't actually, in so many cases, actually, I'm going to save up and then I'm going to have enough and then I'm going to launch myself. Do you know how unbelievably infrequent that is? And it's not always a friend's house. It's not always, you know, an associate. Sometimes it's our children. You know how hard it is to preach something like this if you're me? Knowing just a little bit of what I know about a couple of things that could be going on. It's some hard stuff. Say, God, really? You want me to preach that now? Why now? Why not a year ago? Why not a year from now? Heaven forbid we need this a year from now. But he's saying, no, it's not the first part when it's all good and there's happiness and joy and contentment and everybody's feeling good about being loved and being welcome and being welcoming. No, it's after a while when things are not going to be said. And when you don't say stuff and you hold it in, what happens? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So then when it finally happens, so it's not the first part, it's the last portions that lead to the contempt and the hatred. Amen?
Amen.
Solomon is also saying the responsibility is on you. It's not the food's job to become poisonous so you don't eat it. It's not the food's job to become not delicious so you don't eat anymore. It's not the food's job. It's not the person's job to get up the courage to tell you what you need to hear. In this particular case, if you are the lingerer, it is your job. It's your responsibility to move your foot. It's your responsibility to know the damage that's being done. Think about this. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy, right? You control that whole thing. You have all that power. The other person is dependent on you. They are dependent. They are left out in the heat because you chose to leave them there. The responsibility is on who? You. You've been invited. You've been welcomed for an evening, for an event, or for a time. Whose responsibility is it? Yours. To move your foot before all the damage happens. He's saying it's on us. Oh, this is some good stuff. It's not the food's fault. Now, food doesn't have a choice. When we get into the people that are welcoming, they can't look somebody in the eye and tell some truth. They actually become part of the problem. That's a different sermon. The food has no choice. But the people, for whatever their weaknesses, whatever their reasons, whatever their, the relationship's going to fall apart. Guess what? That ain't no relationship. That's called a leech. So technically that is a relationship. It's a symbiotic relationship. It is where one gets something and the other gets something, right? No, it's not symbiotic. I was checking you there. No. That's called a parasitic relationship. Some of these times it looks symbiotic. For a minute, that extra money, a little bit of extra money, if you're getting any extra money, seems good. Eventually, most of the time, it doesn't seem worth it. Amen?
Amen.
And heaven forbid you make it too easy for somebody for too long and you ruin them. That's a different proverb. This one's talking about how you end up in a hatred situation where you had all these great relationships and all, and at the end, it all has to go kaplooey. It has to be all ugly and nasty. Or you stay there and they hate you, talk about you all the time, and you don't know it. Start acting funny. And you're wondering why. Or maybe you don't care. Hey, as long as I get to stay here, I can deal with your attitude. As long as I can stay comfy, cozy, as long as I do that, I can afford to go to Vegas because I'm here. How'd I get the money? How could you live if you weren't with me? So now you're with me, so all the money you could be saving to handle your business on your own, you spend on what you feel like you want to do. Huh? All right, maybe if you're a teenager. We're talking about grown folks here. Ooh, it ain't the fool's fault. So we should stop when we get to an adequate amount of food, shouldn't we? And if you can't stop, this is an implied lesson. He's telling you, if you keep on eating, you're going to end up vomiting, end up with less than you had when you had enough. So if you can't stop, don't start. Don't take the first bite if you know you can't stop. Don't go over their house at all if you know you can't leave. Don't take them up on their offer at all if you know you can't get your act together and you're going to be there too long and you're going to wear out your welcome. Don't go in the first place if you can't handle your situation. Don't take the first drink if you can't handle your liquor. Don't take the first drink. Mm-mm-mm. leave earlier than you have to. Well, I'm going to go because I think I've been here long enough. I'm enjoying this, but you know what? You might not want to tell me. It's getting kind of late. So I'm going to go. Now, if they tell you, no, stay. Now, that's a different story. But no, you ain't said nothing. They seem fine. I'm just going to stay. It's midnight. They got work tomorrow, but they seem fine. This is working out great. There's so many advantages to being here. They seem fine. The Bible says, withdraw thy foot, did it not?
Yes.
I didn't say that. I'm going to look at it again. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. Or else, lest he be sick and tired of you and hate you. Your job is simple. Withdraw your foot. Which means you got to do first things first, right? You got to do the first thing so that your foot can be withdrawn, right? All these things tie in together. If we listen to Solomon, man, we could be some bad somethings. If we would listen. Because now at this point, I mean, we got first things first. We know we're not to fall for the trick of laziness. We know about the dependable, reliable, trustworthy. And now we know, woo, got to withdraw that foot. Don't be lingering. He's telling you, don't do that. Bad things happen. Don't do it. So you should be handling your business. You should have your little budget. Let me see. I see that. I get $500 a month and 500 times 4 months. And this, I'll have this much. And if you get behind, what did I do to get behind? What did I do? What things did I do that I shouldn't have done? Okay, let me fix that. And let me go to them and tell them, I'm so sorry. Here's the situation. It's going to extend by one more month. Is that okay? No, we get entitled. For whatever our reasons, we get entitled. And you know what the other person started thinking? Huh, he or she done got kind of entitled. And they get all mad and indignant. They start watching. You ain't even trying. You're not even trying. You go to Vegas more than I do. And you up in my house. You go to the movies more than I do. You go out to eat more than I do. And you up in my house. Maybe you should be cooking to show your gratitude. And while you're cooking, we all saving money, right? And maybe I'll help with the groceries or at least offer so that when we're cooking, you're contributing to what's being cooked. It's a whole different mindset. I want you to pay attention now. You got people in your life. They do the opposite of all of this. They don't save their money. They don't chip in for the groceries. They don't want to give any part of the rent. Or if they do, they start feeling like, well, this is my house. I'm paying for it. And so start acting like they live there. They act like it's theirs. This is dysfunctional stuff, but it happens all the time. All the time. And relationships are ruined if only on the inside. Where here you are, Christian person, hospitable, let somebody in for whatever your reasons, and then you have an anger and hatred and resentment in your heart. You're living with that. You're out in the heat and the cold because this person wasn't dependable, reliable, trustworthy to live up to what they said until I get up on my feet. Well, guess what? If you have somebody like that, you put some time limitations on it because get up on my feet is an eye of the beholder. Until I can save enough money to get my own place is in the eye of the beholder. And if they don't want you to hold them to it, and check in with them about their progress, don't start. Don't start. If you can't be straight up about it from the beginning, then the relationship ain't as strong as you thought it was. If they got the attitude, well, I'm their so-and-so, I'm their friend, or I'm their family, if they can't handle you checking in like that, they're users. They're being lazy. They're doing a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. This is the Bible. So let's leave a little earlier than we have to, okay? And let's not allow too much of a good thing to ruin the good things in our lives. Let's not overindulge. I know he's talking about honey, and I know he used the example of, you know, your neighbor's house. He's trying to teach you, teach us principles. If you care about the relationship, you'll handle it. Let me show you something. If somebody lets you in and you overindulge, you overstay, what does that do for the next person who really does need a place and who really will handle their business? Well, you are ruining it for them. Because that person, once they started out with love and appreciation and gratitude, ended up with resentment, contempt, and hatred, they're going to be a little gun shy. So the other person comes along and, oh, they really, if somebody would let me, I just need to save up this much money. If I could just get a little help, I'll come out on the other side. I'll be the most grateful person you ever met. You ruin it for them. Because people learn from experiences. Nah, child, what you think about doing what? Don't you dare. Oh, but he's such a good kid. He really has good intentions. He got a job. It's full time. He passed probation. He just haven't been able to save up enough money. He just needs a place to stay for 2 months. Ooh, don't do it. It's always longer than they say. Always longer than they say. Don't do it. You ruin it for that person who would have been dependable, who would have been trustworthy, who would have been reliable, who is being honest, who will handle business, who couldn't dare live with themselves if they used you like that. You ruin it for them. This is Bible. Oh, I just get passionate. And after brother, pastor, doctor, Ragu getting up here and jumping up and down and getting on, I don't have to. I don't have to apologize. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, but I do get passionate because we do ruin it. It's not just about your relationship getting messed up, because that certainly could happen. Even if the relationship ain't messed up, that person has the capacity to help. Maybe you get up on your feet and move on, then somebody else can use that capacity. How about you not just being greedy and selfish and sucking it all up? There's so many ways you could talk about this. He told you the extreme terms so that you could, like, fire. Ouch! You won't touch it. But even if you can hold your hand over the fire, somebody else's hands are cold. You hogging up all the fire. There's so many reasons not to be this way. Not to overindulge. Because bad things will happen.